Revelation chapter 8. We jump into the trumpets tonight. We talked about them a little bit last week. And do you remember, for those of you that were here last week, do you remember what happened right before the trumpets when the seventh seal was opened? Do you remember what happened? One key component, and Gary got it. It's silence. If you weren't here last week, read it back in chapter 8 and you'll get to see it. But he says, just as everything began to happen, it said, then the angels, that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. You ever notice how silence signals so many things? Certainly we talked about the fact that silence signaled that there's a change. God's fixing to do something. And the angels knew something was fixing to happen that was significant. And so they got quiet, even in reverence, but in awe and in kind of bewilderment a little bit as to what was going to happen. Have you ever noticed how silence even just makes people nervous? Some of you, it really bothers. Some of you, not so much. But I want you to know, as we get into the trumpets, don't lose sight of the fact that the angels were silent for half an hour. That was half a minute.
It's like when you tell your kids, if you can be quiet for a minute, you can get this. They can't.
There's no chance. It's funny to stand up here to see some of you that if I don't say something, you'll say something to the person you're sitting by. But we don't do well with silence. But I want you to understand the significance of the trumpets. Because as the trumpets are blown, if you will, we're going to see a side of God that most of us are not familiar with, and most of us don't want to be, none of us want to be familiar with. Okay? And so I want you to see that as we go in. Starting at verse 7, it says, the first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were hurled to the earth. So a third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain ablaze with fire was hurled into the sea. So a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from heaven. It fell on a third of the rivers and springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. So many of the people died from the waters because they had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day was without light, and the night as well. I looked, and I heard an eagle flying in the mid-heaven, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who live on earth because of the remaining trumpet blasts that the three angels are about to sound. A couple of things I'd give you, just basic information leading into the trumpet. Some theologians and scholars think this is a pretty good sign, as best they can in first century when John wrote this, as best he could describe the ravages of war. Now you got to know, as you look at the things that happen here, it's interesting at the parallels in the trumpets as compared to the plagues of the Old Testament, when God led the people of Israel out of Egypt and the plagues that happened to Egypt because of Pharaoh's hardened heart. Okay? Don't lose sight of this fact. Those parallel in a lot of ways, and you're going to think back of those plagues as we talk through the first of the four trumpets tonight. But I want you to catch this too. We'll talk about it at the end. Do you remember why there were so many plagues? Why was there not one plague? Because Pharaoh wouldn't relent. Pharaoh wouldn't give. Pharaoh would not be obedient. I want you to know that's the same case here. It's just instead of at the beginning, it's at the end. People still won't relent. People are still hard-headed. People are still hard-hearted. That's true at the end. And it's true at the beginning. So what does that tell you? Probably in the middle. All right? Now here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't know if where we are today, we're to the halfway point yet. Beginning, end. I don't know if we're in the middle. We might be right over here. We're just barely getting started. We might be way over here. We're almost done. I don't know where it is, but I know this. People are hard-headed and hard-hearted and disobedient in the beginning, and they're hard-hearted and hard-headed and disobedient in the end. So I'm just guessing that's a continuum. Okay? So I want you to think of that as we walk through it. One other thing I want you to catch real fast. How many of you noticed the fraction that it kept talking about, that it kept mentioning? Did you catch it? What was the fraction? A third. Do you find it interesting that it was a third and 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 a third? I want you to catch this. There may be some reasoning to the third. There may be a specific to that third. And we may figure that out as we go down the line a little bit, but I don't know that I'm intellectual or intelligent enough to be able to explain that to you. But I will tell you, here's what I think of the third. Regardless of whether it means exactly 33% or a bunch, here's what I think it does mean. Two things. Number one, it's not happenstance that it's a third and a third and a third and a third. What that tells you is, number one, this is not happenstance. It's divine sovereignty. God is in control of it the whole way through. Does that make sense to you? Not just happen. If it just happened, somewhere it would be thousands, and somewhere it would be hundreds, and somewhere it would be tens of thousands. Somewhere it would be a third, and somewhere it would be a fifth, and somewhere it would be an eighth, and somewhere it would be a tenth, and somewhere it would be a half. Right? But it's a third, and 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 a third. God designed it. God's in control. The second thing I want you to know is this. We are in Revelation chapter 8, and it says that a third of these things happen. What does that also tell you? Two-thirds is left. Okay? So that tells you it's not getting everybody, but it is telling you that there's more people and there's more to come. All right? So I want you to know kind of those basics as we go in and look at it. Now let's look at the trumpet judgments real fast. We'll kind of walk through those. The first one, it says this. It says that there was hell and fire with blood. It says a third of the trees and a third of the green grass. When you read green grass, does that jump out to you? When you think in terms of fire, is there a difference between some grasses and others? Huh? Green grass don't burn too easy. You ever seen green grass burn? I have a few times, and you know what I know about green grass? When it burns, everything else burns because it's really hot. If it's not really hot, if it's not a significant fire, green grass is not burning. But it tells you about this, that the judgment of God is significant enough that it impacts everything. You see, if a fire is not real hot, when it gets to the green grass, it'll burn out. It just burned the dead grass. And when it gets to the green grass, it'll go out. But not if it's really a hot fire, not if it's really fueled. And I think that's significant to us when we look at the hell and the fire with the blood and a third of the trees and a third of the green grass. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, listen to this. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. I think it's interesting. And if you're one, don't get offended and don't get your feelings hurt. I'm just telling you what I think. And part of that is not just my knowledge, but my personality. I think it's interesting that the first trumpet is going to deal with the land and it's going to deal with earth. When we live in a culture that will put you in prison for doing something to a dog or a cat, but they'll let you abort a child in a second and not give it a thought. We got people that are more concerned about the well-being of trees than they are the well-being of humans. Right? I think it's interesting that that's where the trumpet opens up. Now, don't get me wrong, if you're one that falls in those categories, not that you think more of trees than you do humans, but if you're one who thinks we don't take as good of care of our planet as we should, I'm with you. I agree. We could all do better. Most of you are my age or older or at least close. How many of you at some point today threw a Coke bottle or a bag of chips or a candy wrapper out the window of your car? Anybody? None of us. How many of you did it all the time when you were a kid? I remember us doing that all the time. I live 4 miles south of town. My brother and I used to pick up the glass pop bottles in the bar ditch in front of our town because when people stopped at Peggy's, which was 3 miles north of my house at the edge of town, it was just perfect to drink your Coke and wing it out the window about the time you got where we lived, and we picked them up and shot them with BB guns. We loved it. It's perfect. But now people don't do stuff like that. We do take better care, but we could take better care. Okay? So just a thought when we look at the first trumpet there in the idea that it is the trumpet one deals with the land. John MacArthur, one of my favorites to read, he said Earth Day that year will be a gloomy and dismal affair. Earth Day that year will be a gloomy and dismal affair. If you ever read anything of John MacArthur or you ever listen to him preach, that won't surprise you. If John doesn't, I think I could say this with a smile on my face. I think he's one of our foremost biblical scholars and theologians today. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I do think in a lot of ways, hey, he fights the fight. And if you're not a little bit offended when you leave church, he doesn't feel like he did a good job, I think. Okay? But I just thought that was a neat statement when I read it today. Trumpet 2. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain ablaze with fire was hurled into the sea. I want you to catch that. The sea, singular. We typically in our world today think how many seas? I don't know, but a bunch. Seven? Is it the seven seas? Is that right? There's a reason they say the seven seas. The Mediterranean, the Aegean, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Caspian. Two more?
Arctic and Indian.
That might be right. Okay? But here's what I want you to catch in the scriptures. It talks about one. I think that gives us an idea of the totality. Back the same as the green grass. It doesn't say the seas. It says the sea. When God intervenes, it's going to intervene in all the world. Waters everywhere. It says fire mountain, says it throws a fire mountain into the sea. I was just thinking about that today. When you think of a fire mountain, sometimes we get caught up in the imagery, and I think it's great. There's some things the imagery teaches us. There's some things that our imagery just lets our mind go crazy with creative ideas and creative imagery and what we think it might be. But when I was thinking about this, do you think about fire mountains? Mountains that would be on fire that are thrown into the sea? What did you say? Volcanoes. Maybe. You ever see the video footage of the lava as it flows in Hawaii? It's pretty spectacular. One that blows up. We wouldn't know how to describe it. They certainly wouldn't have in the first century. What if it was A what?
Meteor.
A meteor. That's what I was going to say. What if it's a meteor or a comet? If you think about a meteor coming through our atmosphere, if it made it through our atmosphere, it probably looked like a mountain. And it would definitely look like it was on fire, right? Kind of interesting just thinking of it. I don't know that that's significant to us one way or the other, but significant. It says a third of the sea becomes blood and a third of the sea creatures die. A third of the ships are destroyed. Supposing it was an asteroid, do you realize when it hits the water what's going to happen? You're going to have tidal waves and you're going to have all kinds of storms that go along with it. But tidal waves are going to be huge. When you think about destroying a third of the ships, why would that matter? We're talking about a third of the ocean being blood and a third of the animals in the ocean being blood. I would say a third of the ships is pretty insignificant, wouldn't you? It doesn't really read as a big deal until you start thinking about what ships do. They do. There is a lot of money of the world's wealth on ships right now in that sea. If you think about it from cargo, from supplies, oil, and a third of it gone. I want you to catch this. In trumpet number one, and trumpet number two, how many people have died? None. None. So what does that tell you about all the people? All of them that are alive are going to see that happen. They're going to see it happen. Trumpet three. Look what it says. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star, like a blazing like a torch, fell from heaven. It fell on a third of the rivers and springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became Wormwood. So many of the people died from the waters because they had been made bitter. It says that the star will fall from heaven, and it will fall on a third of the rivers and the springs. Now, when we think in trumpet one of the land, how the land was impacted, and then we think in trumpet two how the sea was impacted, in trumpet three what's impacted? It says that the rivers and the springs, what kind of water? Fresh water, the water supply. It's probably been 10 or 15 years ago now. We had a big thing with oil, and at the time I was living in the Permian Basin, and when I come home to Altus, Christy would tell you, my dad and I, we might ride 100 miles and never be 7-8 miles from Altus. We just ride and visit. Cokes, potato chips, fried burritos. I love them. But we just ride. And I remember it's probably been 10 or 15 years ago when we were living out there. That one time when we were home, my dad said, son, we were just talking about the world. And he said, I'm just telling you, when it all shakes down, we're not going to fight over oil. We're going to fight over water. And I remember when he said that, I thought, that's crazy. It's probably been 25 years ago, or 30. I remember him telling me one time, now my dad is a telephone man, retired from AT&T, Lucent Technologies, Southwestern Bell. I remember him one time telling me, he said, son, one of these days, you're going to get a phone number that's kind of like your Social Security. You'll just keep your phone number from now on, no matter where you go, what you do. And I remember thinking, he's crazy. How would we keep our phones? But at that time, all of our phones were attached to the wall. And there was a thing called long distance that you had to pay if you called somebody from way off. I'm in a place right now, I'd like to change my cell phone service. But not if I got to change my phone number. I'm not changing my phone number. I got too many people all over everywhere that know my phone number. Seems weird, doesn't it? It says the water from the rivers and the springs. You see, the fresh water is totally different than the seawater. Seawater does one thing, but fresh water does something else. It's our water supply. But not only is it the water we drink, but think of all the industries that require fresh water to do what they do. It says it's going to all be messed up in trumpet number 3. It's interesting when it says that a star will fall, the Greek word there is aster, kind of like asteroid. The Greek word is aster, and it's any celestial body other than the sun or the moon. That's what that word means. It's special that it doesn't mean the sun or the moon, but any others. And then it says, it's interesting, it says a torch. Where does it say that? It says that the third angel blew his trumpet and a great star, aster, blazing like a torch. The word for that is lamas. The thought is that'll be some kind of asteroid or comet. I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But when you think in terms of that fresh water and the fact that a star would fall from heaven, and it says wormwood. Anybody ever heard of wormwood before? Yeah? You know, if you ever read, there are some books out there that wormwood is a character in the book. That's probably where most of us heard of that. Huh? Artissima, that's exactly right. You want to teach the rest of this? It's in my notes right here. You got it. I'm impressed that you knew that. I had to look it up. I had no clue. A gardener. But what they tell you about wormwood is it really is a plant. And it really does fit into the Artissima plant family. And what it does is it makes water bitter. It's used several different times throughout the Scripture. This is not the only place that it was used. But where God made the water bitter, they use it today to make different spirits, different alcohols, different liquors, and the proof of it is really high. I don't mean proof like fact, I mean proof like alcohol percentage is really high. And it says when that falls in there, when that star falls in like a torch, that all the fresh water, at least a third of it, is going to become bitter. So bitter that it would make you sick and might kill you. One of the things I thought about in that process is if you're talking about a third, and if I had, I don't know why I think of this, but chocolate strawberries. If I had 3 chocolate strawberries, Eddie, one of them will kill you. The other 2 are spectacular. Would you choose? Or would you go, I think I'll just pass on all of them? The problem with it is this. You can't just pass on water forever. We got to have water, right? It's going to get interesting when the process happens and you see that a third of the rivers and the springs, when you think of fresh water, how it affects not just what we drink, but how it would affect farming and how it would affect agriculture, how it would affect manufacturing. But it's interesting about that wormwood. And then look at trumpet 4. It says, the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day was without light, and the night as well. Where are the stars? In the heavens, right? Sun, moon, in the heavens. Did you catch in the fact of all of those that the first 4 trumpets affect the land, the saltwater seas, the freshwater, and the celestial bodies? Pretty encompassing, just in those first 4. All the different things that people look to. It's crazy for us, but we know the facts. There are people that are so concerned with trees and animals that they're not rational in their thinking. Water is vital to us in the things that we do. Probably most of us, if we don't know somebody specifically, we know of people in general who they determine their life by the stars. It's interesting that the places where people get out of perspective is places where you see God judge immediately. when the trumpets happen. It says a third of the sun and the moon and the stars. I want you to catch this. I want to read you a couple of things real quick. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 13, if you want to write it down or if you want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. They say, look, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel, with rage and burning anger, to make the earth a desolation and to destroy the sinners on it. Indeed, the stars of the sky and its constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shine. Now, you might be somebody that would look at that and go, well, how would Isaiah know that? That's a long time before Isaiah's time to be prophesying about the end times with the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos about what's going to happen at the end times in the Revelation. Don't forget, now that's the same Isaiah that told you that there would be a Messiah born and that they would call his name Emmanuel and that he would be from Bethlehem. It's pretty impressive. I don't know about you, but I love it when I study the Bible and I have a piece over here and a piece over here and I don't know they fit together, and then all of a sudden I read something and I go, oh my, those just fit right together. You know how when you're putting a puzzle together and you find one of those odd-shaped pieces and it's a perfect fit and you go, yes. That's just the way the Bible is. Now, I was talking with Jo Gale before we started Bible study tonight, and she was saying that she's on day 13 of reading through the Bible in a year. And I was telling her one of the things she's going to be fascinated at, as long as she's been a part of the church her whole life almost, even though just recently she understood the significance of a personal relationship with Jesus, but even though she has just come to salvation, she's had a knowledge of the Bible for a long time. But I told her, you're going to be fascinated at the things you read that you go, oh, that's where that's at. Or, oh, that's why people say that. Or you're going to read some things that you're going to go, hey, I knew this piece, but I didn't have a clue about this piece. And look, they just fit right together. That's why it's so neat to read the Bible. When God reveals things to you that you can't figure out and that I can't figure out, and He just shows it to you, you don't forget that. And you know what else you do? You read more of the Bible. If you ever read enough of the Bible that you get excited about it, your quiet time will be easier to do every day. If you ever lift weights long enough that you begin to see muscles, you'll stay working out. If you ever diet long enough that your clothes begin to fit better and you look better in the mirror, you'll stay with the diet. You know how long most people work out? Less than 30 days. You know how long most people diet? Less than 30 days, because they don't see results right away. You got to stay with it. It's the same way with your Bible. If you'll stay with it and be disciplined, eventually God will begin to show you things that you'll go, oh, I'm not missing my Bible quiet time. I'll read my Bible every day. You got three buddies that are doing it right along with you. If you didn't hear her, she said, what's helping me is that she's got three buddies that they're going right along with it. And so y'all get to talk through those stories and go, hey, could you believe that? Did you catch this? Because one of the things I was telling Joe Gell about, one of the things that's fascinating is when you read through the Bible and you do all those things I told you, but there are times that just reading through the Bible, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and a verse will just jump off the page that you go, wow, I never thought about that. And what's really neat is when it's exactly what you needed for that day. When you get exactly what you need for today, you know what you'll do tomorrow? You will read your Bible at some point in that day. That's how it all fits together. I think that's significant when we see it. It's interesting that it says a third of the daytime will happen with no lights. It says the sun will go away, the moon will go away, and a third of the stars, or the third of the sun, third of the moon, third of the stars will go away. When you think about that, I think it's interesting, and I've told you this before. Most of us think our world is lit today by the sun. The day and night, because the sun revolves around, or not the sun revolves around, but the earth revolves around the sun. And we think that's what makes our day and that's what makes our night, right? Look back in the creation account. God said, let there be light, and he didn't create the sun until later. He said, let there be light. We'll call the light day, and we'll call the dark night. And then he created the sun later. It's interesting here that it says a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third of the day. Now stop and think about that for just a second. When you think in terms of the fact that this is the celestial heavens, what does the sun control in our world? It doesn't control light and dark. What does it control? It controls heat. Right? It controls our temperature. You ever hear people talk about if the sun were just a little bit hotter, what it would do to us? Or if it were just a little bit further away so that it was cooler, what would happen to the planet Earth? It's really pretty spectacular at how the sun is exactly where it needs to be. If it were just a little closer, it'd cook us, and if it was a little further away, we'd all freeze. But it says a third of it is going to go out. That sounds serious. I've told you before, I'm a Survivor fan. I love to watch it on TV. But when they send you to Fiji, or they send you to the islands in the Caribbean, or the islands, is it Philippines in the Indian Ocean, is that right? When they send you out there, that don't really tell you how tough you are. You don't find out how tough somebody is, you send them where it's cold. Hey, the cold will break you. And it says a third of the sun's going to go away. Now, on the other side, does that mean everybody's going to freeze instantly? Nope, our God's bigger than that. But it does tell us a little bit about it. Now, what does the moon control? The tides. The moon controls the tides. What will happen when those are uncontrolled? I don't know. Maybe it'll just sit there all the time and it won't go in or out. Or maybe it'll go too far in. Or maybe it'll go too far out. I don't know. But I know that God can make little changes that have huge impacts. And I think that's one of them with the sun, the moon, and the stars, not to mention just our weather patterns are so controlled by it. Look at verse 13. It says, I looked and I heard an eagle flying in the mid heaven, saying in a loud voice, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I know you're reading this, but I want you to catch it in case you're just listening on the internet and you don't have your Bible with you. I want you to know that's W-O-E, not W-H-O-A. It's not whoa, it's whoa. Whoa, whoa. To those who live on the earth because of the remaining trumpet blast that the three angels are about to sound. Let's look at this real fast. What do you know in the Bible, in the Greek, where the Bible's written? How do they add emphasis? For us, we add what? Exclamation point. Or, in our day and time, how do we do it? All caps. Right? If you send a text message and you really want them to get it, hurry up. It's all caps. The way they do it in Bible times is they say it three times. Do you remember how God is described in the scriptures? Holy, holy, holy. You need to know holy extra. Whoa, 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 extra. Fixing to get serious. Okay, at what point do the people, it says many of them have died, but we don't know if that's many like more than a third or many like less than a third. It just said a many. It said many have died. I don't know how many that is, but at what point do people realize that God is serious? We all know God is love, but we also need to know that God is thorough. God is thorough in the sense that when he sends the trumpets, when the trumpets blow and he sends judgment that impacts the land, that impacts the sea, that impacts the fresh waters and impacts the heavens, God is thorough. If you remember back in Revelation chapter 6, if you want to turn back a page, look at verses 15 and 16 in Revelation chapter 6. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and free person hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. This is in the sixth seal. Verse 16, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one, capital O, seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, capital L, because the great day of their, capital T, wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Don't you find it interesting that they realized God was judging them, and instead of repenting, they just prayed the rocks would fall on them and they could die. Remember where we started? Stubborn, hard-headed, hard-hearted people. At the beginning, at the end, Linda says I should add stupid. If there are any six-year-olds listening to this, I apologize for Linda's language. All right, you with me? Okay, I think that's significant for us. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 13 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deceptions. How many of you noticed we prayed two times to start tonight instead of our standard three? I got a third one for you. I thought we would end with prayer tonight. But instead of me praying, I wanted you to pray. And I want you to pray for you. Because the bottom line is, we are sinners. Our hearts, above all else, are evil. And then the scriptures tell us that not only should we pray that we wouldn't have hardened hearts, but that we would have obedient hearts. But then it also says, pray for each other. I want you to look around. Look around, find somebody's eyes. The Holy Spirit will tell you they're the one. You may not even know their name, but it doesn't matter. I want you to pray for you, that you would not have a hardened heart, but that you would have a soft heart, that you would have open eyes, and that you would have wisdom to follow. Soft heart, open eyes, wisdom. And I want you to pray that for whoever the person that Holy Spirit lays on your heart. Let's pray for those. And then we'll finish up.